This episode has been brought to you by George Foreman's Knockout Pain Relief.
Welcome to The Last Dorm. My name is Mark.
And I'm Dave.
And man, we're pumped up to be here today. We are still figuring out a few details about SGA's contract extension. It has not been signed as far as we know, but the reports are that he is ready to sign it and the Thunder are ready to have him sign it. I don't know how true those are, but I'll tell you this right now. Sam Presti is trying to get this done as fast as possible. We know with Kevin Durant, he showed up at his house at midnight to get it done whenever it was his extension time. And here we are with SGA. I have no doubt that Presti is trying to get this done as fast as possible.
Yeah, man, there's no reason to neglect this situation here. Sam recognizes that. The max is like 168 for SGA. There's just no doubt that he's going to do it. If SGA was going to be a all-star or all-American or, you know, not all-American, all-star or all-NBA last year, then there would have been a different level of pay. But obviously, he didn't reach to those standards last year. And that means that Oklahoma City Thunder are going to have a much easier time signing him to a longer extension. So with that being said, the SGA thing is going to happen. It's going to happen very, very quickly here. Both Mark and I are pretty excited about it. Having SGA for another 5 years on this team is going to be exciting. But with that being said, in order for SGA to stay on this team and us be competitive, we have to turn in our draft picks and make them into more of better players so that SGA will have guys around him. You know, we talked about Josh Giddey and how excited we are about Josh Giddey. We've gone into grave detail about the young man that's going to be playing for us, and we're just really excited about it. And we're going to continue talking about Josh Giddey all the way through the season because, obviously, he's one of our favorite players on the team. Just because of the way that he plays and his style of play, we get really excited about him. But with that being said, there's another young man that was in the first-round draft pick of ours. His name is Trey Mann, and we're going to get into that. But before we get into that, Mark, let's go ahead and throw on Sam Presti's interview about the 16th pick and why he decided to trade out the 16th pick. And that's very crucial to walking up and talking about Mann. So let's go ahead and throw that on, Mark, and listen to Sam talk about the 16th pick and why he traded it away.
Yeah, so, I mean, with the 16th pick, it's obviously a really solid pick. It's very unusual to get offered two future firsts that far out. And, we obviously are looking at the value and the overall valuation of the pick. And then the other team tells us who they want to pick. So we traded 16 to get two really solid future first round picks. And we really liked Trey Mann and felt like we'd be able to get him a little bit later at 18. So it was just it was a valuation of the asset. And I think over time, you know, we'll be able to figure out different ways to utilize those. There's really nothing more to it than that. It was way above the line for the general value of that pick. And we're gonna probably make that decision most of the time.
Well, there you have it. You now understand what Sam Presti was thinking when he traded away the 16th pick. Obviously, the value of two picks for the future for the 16th pick is unusual, and so they decided to jump on that. But the reason that they did that was because they really believed that the guy that they wanted would still be there at 18.
Yeah, man. Look at Trey Mann. Look at the way that he plays. I'm really excited, and I know that Sam's heart kind of fluttered for a moment when they announced the 17th pick. Trey Murphy, right? So I know for a fact that there was a moment that Sam wondered if he did the right thing by trading 16 instead of 18. But man, I cannot tell you. Trey Mann is so exciting. I watched an interview the other day talk about his height. And he made this comment that he just recently grew a couple inches. This is insane, man. Like if he truly did just grow a couple inches and that 6'5" frame used to be 6'3", there's a chance that he is not done growing. Imagine if this guy, Trey Mann, gets that 6'6", 6'7" size before he's done. This is why it's so exciting having a young, talented player on your team, is you don't know what's going to happen. And Trey Mann, at that 6'5", and that almost 7-foot wingspan, come on, guys, this is insane. I can't say anything else other than, like, he is going to go out there putting some serious minutes, coming off the bench in the beginning. Obviously, that's the way I believe that all of our players are going to come into Oklahoma City, is earning their playing time. We saw it with Theo Maledon last year, and he earned a starting position. I think that's going to be the same exact way, is you have to earn your starting position with this Oklahoma City Thunder team. Trey Mann is going to be one of those guys that you're going to have to circle and keep a very close eye on. At 6 foot five, almost 7 foot wingspan, and he can shoot 43% from three-pointers in college. No doubt in my mind, he is going to be a next-level athlete. His pull-up jumper is an unbelievable shot. And in 4 or 5 years, when we're all talking about Trey Mann, we're going to all laugh and say, man, the NBA got it wrong, and he dropped to 18 to us. What the hell were they thinking?
It's crazy, because between Josh Giddey and Trey Mann, those two guys have grown 4 inches in the last 3 days. It's mind-boggling. It's just really, really confusing. I mean, I don't know how else to explain it other than to say this. The Thunder like to make sure that the guys they're targeting don't rise up in value right before and they lose them. So guys like Poku, guys like Josh Giddey, they kind of make these little deals with them, I believe, where they kind of say, like, hold out on, you know, going through the entire process all the way, and we're going to go ahead and target you. And then when Josh Giddey comes out and it's like, oh, I'm actually 6'9", well, I think that, you know, more teams would look at him as a serious top five pick if they realized he was 6'9". It may not seem like a big difference to you, 6'7 to 6'9", but it is. And, you know, the best way I can explain it is, like, Dave and I, we grew up and we were friends with the Griffins, right? Blake and Taylor Griffin, close friends. And Blake is 6'10", Taylor is 6'7". And they both got drafted, but Blake went number one and Taylor went in the second round. Blake still plays in the league and Taylor doesn't. And a lot of that comes down to the, like, you're talking about height. Those 3 inches are massive. And I know it's only 2 with Josh Giddey, and Trey Mann, he thinks he might even still be growing. So I know that it seems like, oh, well, we're just kind of like getting excited about things that maybe are insignificant, but they are significant. And I think that they're done intentionally. I think Trey Mann, if people listed him at 6'5", he'd be a lot more attractive to teams. But at 6'3", at a shooting guard, you better be able to play point guard also. And he can. I have no doubt about that. But what they consider, you know, ideal for a two guard is closer to 6'5", 6'6". So if he came in and he was listed at that, that could have really, really risen his stock. There were players that were still available at 18 that I thought we might target before Trey Mann, even though I like Trey Mann a lot. There were a couple of players that had been projected to be top 10 players that fell, and they were available at 18, and we didn't take them. It just shows you how committed we were to Trey Mann. He is one of the best shooters in this draft. That's undeniable. A lot of people already understood that. If you look at his film, the dude can flat out shoot. He's got the runner, he's got the pull up, he's got the step back, he's got shiftiness. He loves making teams shift with his eyes, shift with his crossover. He loves to see defenses get out of position, and then he can carve them up with a pass or he can finish. This guy has elite playmaking ability. So just think about that. If you're talking about him being a scorer alone, he's good enough. But when you add the fact that he's an elite playmaker and a scorer, he has all-star potential. Now, will he make it? I don't know. You got to stay healthy. You got to work really hard. You've got to be fortunate with a lot of different things. But when you look at the combination of skill sets he possesses, I don't see someone who will ride the bench at all. I don't see someone who will have trouble finding playing time. I mean, shit, if you remember, though, with, like, Kobe, when Kobe first got to the Lakers, they had trouble getting him playing time. Eddie Jones was an all-star, and it was difficult. Eventually, they had to clear some space for Kobe. So I'm not saying Trey Mann will just come in and right away tear it up, and I'm not saying he's Kobe. My only point is, no matter how good you are, you have to take some time to transition into the NBA. Trey Mann has elite game. He can rise up. He's got that wingspan that Dave mentioned, and he's not just a shooter. All that combined says he should have been a top 10 pick, but it was an extremely loaded draft. The most loaded draft I can remember as far as going into the draft. People really had a solidified top 10, top 15, top 20. And obviously, as soon as the draft starts, all that goes to shit. But in the end, this was an extremely well-researched draft. They really understood the players that were coming up, and we were able to help, I believe, this is just my opinion now, but I believe we were able to help depress the value of Trey Mann so he would be still available at 18. Some people think he would have been available later, but I think if everybody realized that he was 6'5", he probably would have gone earlier than 18.
Well, not just 6'5", man. Let's just put it out there. We have pictures I'm sending over to you right now, Mark. It's going to hit your text message. This is a picture of the guys all standing next to each other. Trey Mann is all the way to the left, and you'll see him standing next to Aaron Wiggins. Aaron Wiggins is listed as 6'6". Trey Mann is every bit as big as Aaron Wiggins, if not a little bit bigger. This is what I'm saying, is that he might be listed as 6'5". Right now, on ESPN and all the other projections and stuff like that, but this guy is every bit of 6'6". With that being said, is that that's why I believe that this is somebody that has the potential, if he is 6'6", to be one of those guards that everybody looks back at and say, how did he slip? And then people will talk about it. If he was 6'6", prior to the draft and, you know, with all the stuff going on, he probably would have been a top 12, top 14 pick. But that 1 inch, that 6'5" mark really makes a difference. I honestly, even looking at in college when he was listed at 6'4 or 6'3", looking at here, this should have been a big enough jump for people to jump on him. But honestly, I'm glad that Sam was able to get him where he was able to get him. 18 is big, man. We've seen a lot of really great players come from 18. But the reality is if you look at this, man, there's great players that come right after that lottery. And that is where I think Trey Mann sits in there, just before that 20th pick and a whole new group of guys starts coming off the board. That 15 to 20, we've seen a lot of really great players come being drafted in that position. This year is special. Trey Mann is special. And I think the Thunder hit gold with Trey Mann. I'm telling you right now, there's very few guys that I have ever seen that have exemplified the pure passion of the game as much as Trey Mann does. And I say that with the purity of the aspect of he is going to be an elite guard. I have seen these guys come through the NBA that you're like, okay, how did that guy get drafted there? Then you have the other guys that come through the NBA and you're like, holy shit, that guy should have been a top 10 pick. I mean, that's what most people felt like about Giannis coming out was, man, yes, you know, where he was drafted was okay, but he should have been a top 10 pick. And there's guys that drop like this. You know, we've seen it in the NBA all the time. But Trey Mann, he's always been sitting at that 18 to 22 spot or 22 to 16 spot. This is where Trey Mann's been this entire time, which tells me that what Mark said earlier is absolutely correct, is that Sam likes to pick his guys, and then, in a way, they check out because they're going to the Thunder and they want to go there. That's what I think we saw with Trey Mann, and I think that he is going to have one of the best fits that we've seen of any Thunder player that have come through in the last 12, 13 years.
I couldn't agree more, bro. Seriously, like, when I look at my notes about Trey Mann from pre-draft day, I mean, legitimately, this is what it says. It says, Steph Curry feel. Steph Curry feel. That's it. That's all I wrote. The dude can fucking play. I mean, I don't know what that means to you, but what that means to me is Steph, he's not just a shooter, right? Steph is a playmaker. You combine the shooting ability that Steph contains, right? And you add the playmaking, facilitating elements to it, and that's where his game becomes much more than just a shooter. And I know it's not fair to say Trey Mann has that level of feel, but that's how I look at it, man. He feels the game the same way Steph does. Does that make a lot of sense to you? I hope it does. But if it doesn't, I'm sorry. I mean, that's the only way I can explain it. Is like when you watch his film, he's not overpowering people. He's using misdirection, shiftiness, ball fakes, eye fakes. He's getting where he wants to go, and he's carving up defenses in the process. So that's how I feel about him. I can't say anything more. I mean, when you watch a player in college and you come away with saying, like, he looks like and he feels like Steph Curry, like, what else do you want? Like, you might as well just say, like, that's the guy we're going to go with. It may not always work out, but it's going to work out more often than not if you take that approach.
Yeah, man. And you bring up a really good point and a really good comparison. And I want to throw this out here with that is that the Steph Curry comparison, Mark, is great. It's about dominating the game. It's about understanding the game in a way that everybody else around you doesn't, but you make them better. You know, being that he is a very 6'5", 6'6", I think he's 6'6", Mark. Pre-draft stuff says he's 6'4", but there's no way he's not 6'6". So standing at a 6'6" point guard is huge. And I want to throw this out here. When I compare this draft and I look at the athletes in this draft and I add a player like Steph Curry or I add a player like SGA into this draft process, and they were, I'm just looking at them the way that they were looked at during the draft process, right? SGA, I don't think goes in the lottery this year if he was drafted. I don't think that Steph Curry is a top 10 pick this year in 2021 draft coming out of college, right? Those two players are two guys that we've been talking about just recently. And I feel like if you look at the way that this draft is, guys like Steph Curry could have gone 14, 16, right? That's the type of player that Steph Curry could have gone. SGA could have dropped down in the 20s in this draft. And there is no doubt about it that some team would have taken a chance at him, like the Thunder would have. But this particular year, I feel like if there's going to be a star potential player that's going to come out of the mid, like I want to say mid-teens to late 20s, it's going to be Trey Mann. Trey Mann is going to be that guy that everybody looks back at and say, how did he slip that far? Just like Steph Curry slipped. I mean, would it end up 7th or something like that? You know, you got SGA at 11. Like, these guys slip, and that is what happens. And there's nothing that you can do about it. But the reality is that the team that is smart enough to draft him never regrets it. And that's why I have to continue to say I am completely stoked and completely unbelievably excited about Trey Mann, his potential, and what he is going to mean to this Oklahoma City Thunder team.
I think one thing that's worth noting here is we've talked a lot about Coach Degnault's connection with Kemba Walker and how, you know, they were at UConn at the same time for a year. So now it's time to talk about Trey Mann being the Florida connection. That's where Coach Degnault was when Sam Presti found him and brought him to the Thunder to coach the G League. And now here we are, and I guarantee that Coach Degnault hasn't taken his eyes off of Florida basketball. So he is very familiar with Trey Mann. He knows what he's capable of. He watched him as a freshman. He watched him as a sophomore. Obviously, I'm taking a lot and I'm making a lot of assumptions here, but I don't think it's that big of a stretch to think that if he was a coach there, he has stayed plugged into the program. And I really believe that Mark Degnault is pumped up to have Trey Mann on this team.
I mean, how couldn't you, Mark? I mean, like, this young man is going to destroy the NBA. Like, here's the thing about it. Because of how deep this team is and how young this team is, Trey Mann is not going to step on the court and take over Dort's starting position. But guess what's going to happen, Mark? Every fucking day, he's going to have to play against Dort. You're telling me that in 6 months' time, that all of a sudden that he's scoring regularly off of Dort, he's going to transition that into the games and he's going to start scoring regularly off of the other talent? When that happens, either A, he's going to be our sixth man, or B, he's going to move up in a position because somebody got injured and now he is starting. That was what happened with Theo Maledon. That is what happened with some of these other guys that we saw start last year. I truly believe that Trey Mann is going to be one of those guys that we're circling. Now, Mark, honestly, if we get hit by the injury bug, we could have two guys that are rookies starting this year. If we don't get hit by the rookie or by the injury bug, we're going to have two rookies that are going to get significant minutes in games. And that is crazy for me to say because, you know, besides last year, our rookies getting significant minutes. Can you seriously name a last time that our rookies were actually getting balling minutes? I can't. And the reason I can't is because it's never been one of those things where we've seen our rookies get a shit ton of time. We saw Albert Abrines get some time there. But other than that, man, we never really saw a rookie come into the Thunder and start away right off the bat getting some serious minutes. So that's what makes me excited about Trey Mann is because I know he is going to benefit from that. We're going to watch some amazing things with him, and we're going to watch how everything pulls together for this team really fast. Mark and I are keeping an eye on it. We're going to keep you guys updated with it. We were the first podcast that came out and said, hey, listen, SGA is signing a contract. We have insiders. We've got everybody else like that set up. And we know that this is a big thing. None of the other podcasts want to touch it. And the reason they don't want to touch it is not confirmed by their sources. But guess what? It is by ours. So we're going to go with that. We are excited. We are pumped that you guys are joining along. And I cannot wait until the season starts.
Yeah, man, I think Terrence Ferguson got some playing time as a rookie. And I know you meant Alex Abrines, but we can call him Albert Abrines because fuck it, dude. He's not with us anymore. And he just, I don't know what happened with that. So we'll move on. But hey, we appreciate everybody taking the time to join us. Obviously, we are pumped up about Trey, man. If you heard us in the last episode, we're pumped up about the SGA contract extension. And the previous episode, we're super pumped up about Josh Giddey. In our next episode, we're going to be breaking down our second round picks and what we love most about those guys. So join us as we go through that. We're also going to get some comments about from Sam Presti about trading those picks to make sure that we got Jeremiah Robinson Earl. So that's, you know, all relevant. We love hearing Sam Presti talk about his thought process when it comes to picks, when it comes to trades. It's insight. And sure, it won't really help you, because it's past. But when the future comes up, if you know the way that he thinks, then as all of these people come along and they start trying to convince you that there's a new sexy trade that will, you know, do this and this and this for us, you can look at it and be like, that's not how Sam Presti sees things. And that's what we were doing the whole time with SGA's trade proposals that everybody on Twitter and everywhere was making. And the truth is, Sam Presti came out and he backed us up and he said that people try to tear apart people with their phones. And he was directly referencing the way that Down to Dunk, the way that Locked On Podcast, the way that the Daily Thunder, the way that Dylan over at Topic Thunder, those guys, the way that they break things down and they try to be divisive and tear the team apart and tear the fan base apart because it gets them sexy clicks or whatever. Hey, that's their prerogative. We're just going to call it like we see it, and everybody else can fuck off. So we appreciate you taking the time to join us, and we're going to be back tomorrow with another fucking episode about our favorite team, the Oklahoma City Thunder. Thanks for joining us, and this episode has been brought to you by George Foreman's Knockout Pain Relief.